Hello everyone and welcome back to another episode of LARPs and TARPs. Today we're going to be talking about E1 2024. We're back, we're mostly dry, and it was a hell of a lot of fun. I'm joined today by the incredible Chloe.
Thank you, hello.
The awesome Morgan.
Woo, hello.
The outlandish Tom.
Hooray!
And I can't think of any more adjectives.
Aw.
The super
illustrious.
Duper. So, illustrious, Kerry.
Evervescent.
Oh, I get so many adjectives. Oh, thank you, guys.
That's the budget gone for the year.
It's just swear words and insults from here on out. That's all we can afford.
Yes. So, let's get stuck in. I mean, we arrived on the Thursday, got everything set up, had just some minor car accidents.
Dave, when Penny, I believe, is responsible for that car crash.
You minute, Dave. Quite honestly.
We'll be sending the bill over to the LARP noobs.
Fuming at Dave. Dave cursed me, you know. Mm. That's what happened. I was driving in those woods and Dave goes, get a better driver. All right.
Rude. And then what did you do, Morgan?
I reversed into a tree. Oh, shit. Hopefully the van hired.
Yeah, but that tree moved. I saw Dave.
That tree definitely moved. And then Dave came back cackling.
I don't think it then helped when you tried to flee at speed you sank.
Look, driving an automatic van into that mud, not the wisest decision I've ever made.
No, we didn't know what it was like.
No, very much we got in, I was like, this is going to be a problem. Yeah.
It was very squelchy.
Well, we had to get all your stuff out. So yeah, that was in Navarre. But then everywhere else was fine.
Yeah,
pretty much.
I just think it's because the trees had sheltered, so there wasn't the sunlight to dry it out as much as the rest of the field.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, Dangerous Thursday was dangerous. I don't think I saw any of you on Dangerous Thursday.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we did. I saw you at Fish Party.
You were at Fish Party. Oh, of course you were at Fish Party. Fish Party was good.
Fish Party was good. I missed Clown Party, sadly.
Clown Party, I did.
I went to Clown Party and then the person whose birthday it was just like, let's go to Fish Party. So we just went straight to Fish
the
Party.
The premier clown.
We were there at... We went to Clown Party first in Hunt for You, Morgan, and we were like, oh... There's only a few people here. Oh, we're going to try down Fish Party and then...
Fucking everyone was there, yeah.
Can we say Bella?
Bella. Doxing Bella right now.
And then Bella was like, we're probably going to head down in a minute anyway. I was like, yeah, cool. Like, yeah, come down. We're going to the Fish Party. And then about 20 minutes later, I think they arrived.
Oh, yeah.
But someone had a camera at Fish Party.
Oh, someone was flashbombing.
And it was like, I don't know what camera it was because I couldn't see.
It was like one of those Kodak disposable cameras.
They basically just picked it up and took a picture, and every time there's so many photos of just people just like the pictures of me just like, just in the light. Every single light is people just being flashbanged by this camera.
Please check if people have epilepsy before flashbanging people.
Yeah. That was a good night. But that's not actual time in. What do we get up to? I was everyone, we've spoke about pre-LARP, what we all did to get ready.
Mm-hmm. Woo!
Jittering with excitement. What was everyone's kind of plans? How did everyone time in, I guess?
Who wants to go first? Well, I timed in with stress.
Who wants to go first? Well, I timed in.
Well, you didn't answer within the 0.5 seconds which I set.
It was my fault. I shook my head. So I answered for everyone silently.
I see.
Because the Quadracos had said we'd finished our contract and done four fights, showing once again Dawn can't count.
Showing once again House Quadraco can't count.
Terrible. The entirety of Dawn. But then again, we struggled to argue it back because both of us had lost the contracts in the great storm of E1 last year in the Rush Packdown. Do you think we'll ever get a normal Empire Packdown? But yeah, after some negotiation, we finally got our last final fight with Dawn. I mean, Dawn always looks so great when it's time in. Everyone's getting ready to march out. There's your meetings. Everyone's flowered up and happy.
But yeah, I started time in because there was a Vlorn skirmish at 6:30. I got to put my new chainmail on. I forgot my gambeson at home. I was furious with myself. Like, I was unpacking everything. I was like, where the hell is it? Luckily, I packed a backup, tunic. That's something to use for black knighting, so it worked. But it wasn't as comfortable because, like, the Amberson's got, the arming jacket's got, a collar.
Yeah.
So the plates that I have around my neck don't rub against my neck.
You should have told me. I have two, but they're black, so
it
may not work.
Yeah, well, it was black, but it was fine. I had some, but basically it just ended up rubbing against my neck for most of the weekend, which was like not really a problem until, I feel like the end of Saturday, I was getting pretty sick of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I started fully girded up, and I went to a meeting about the skirmish at 6:30, was kind of how I started. And there's basically a big briefing to whoever's coming on the skirmish, we're going to tell you how the Valorn work. Which is very cool, very interesting. And that was, yeah, that's how I started timing.
That's cool.
Yeah. Well, I basically did three meetings in that first half an hour. It was meeting, rush, flip through. Because as soon as we did the Cordraco thing, we ran over to the Orcs and see if they'd hire us. Because one of our listeners last year, I don't believe he's playing the same characters, offered the Jackdaws a contract to fight with the Orcs that year. So we went to try and sort that out. We went in a two. We went armed, as is tradition. Mentioned that, oh, this person wanted to hire us. They're no longer looking for us, but we were told if we seek out the senator, they'd hire us. Wait about 10 minutes. Well, we're not hiring anymore. We've already got someone. And my heart sank when I heard how much Black Scar was being hired for. Oh. This was a mistake, apparently. I've been told this wasn't the actual price.
Okay.
But my heart dropped when I heard, I think there's about 30 in Black Scar they send out. And they were, I thought they were selling all 30 mercs for a whole year of battle for 12 thrones. That's super low. That's
okay, cool. I don't.
That's three thrones per battle for 30 troops.
Shit, so that's a throne for 10 people? So that's like 16 rings per person.
Luckily, I was mistaken by this, but I remember laughing with Ian later. It's like, I've been beaten, Talis. Nietzsche can't compare with these low cutthroat prices. They're just too low.
Bloody Navarre cutting in a lot of British market.
No. Just Black Scar.
Stop stealing our brief. We know the league has the best brief.
It's not just Black Scar. There are multiple Navarre mercenary companies, as far as I'm aware. Yeah, so you were basically, had a contract stolen from beneath you.
Yeah, it's like, fuck. That's too low. Not even Nietzsche. Cheapskate, bargain bin Nietzsche can send his troops out anymore for three thrones a battle. God, that's cutthroat.
So you had three meetings in 30 minutes and the result was a depressed Nietzsche. Is that?
No, the next one was run over to the archery range to John Luca, Callum, who runs the archery range. Like, you wanted to hire us for a season. Sign this contract, please. To which was signed. We're fighting for the league next summit for 10 thrones.
Hell yeah.
You'd be fighting for the league anyway.
Pardon?
Yeah, if they weren't mercenaries, they'd be fighting for the national block.
But they wouldn't be getting paid.
But now we're being paid by our own nation to fight for
them.
That
seems odd.
It makes me incredibly happy.
That seems cheated somehow.
Yeah, that's broken.
Seems Nietzsche.
It's definitely.
It makes sense. I mean, the archery range haven't got a lot of fighters.
The archery range have one fighter.
Yeah, there you go.
So he fights for the block, therefore we will be fighting for the national block. Technically, he'll be our commander.
I love that you're getting paid to do what you would be doing for free if you didn't get a contract.
It makes me so happy. I never wanted to leave the block originally and do the mercenary game. I wanted to stay with them. I like them. But then my guys were like, yeah, we really want to do the mercenary game. So I get to fight with the block and play the mercenary game. So I'm super happy. I brought official paperwork to sign. It makes me feel proper. We've now got pre-typed out contracts. You can just go sign here. And we get to keep a copy.
You need to get... a fantastic moment for this event was I was in the middle of getting my armor on, but I wasn't fully dressed. And then you had to write down my schedule.
Yeah.
So I'd brought parchment, a quill, and ink. And I was sat at my desk, at the front of the tent, using a quill of ink with, an armor stand next to me, pavilions lined out in front, writing stuff out with the quill of ink. I was like, this is cool. This is a cool moment. This is awesome.
I haven't used it yet. Archie has it, and he's going to do it at home. But Nick gave me a Jackdaw wax sealing kit.
Oh,
so
hell
I'm
going to
wax seal it before the next event. But yeah, that was my first start. But I believe as we were signing the contracts, the Throne Guard competitions were about to happen.
Oh, okay.
Didn't look like the most effective way to my eyes of just choosing Throne Guard. It's like, isn't this just hide at the back and hold most hero points and then get stuck in at the end?
Yeah, maybe.
Is that what a Throne Guard is? Avoid the danger until it goes away.
My opinions on the Throne Guard will remain off air. What about you two? How did you start timing?
So for the Dreadshields, there was a skirmish, but it seemed a bit deadly, or apparently it was kind of dangerous, and I'm just a squishy leather boy. So
you give you.
This just in, folks. Alex is a squishy leather boy.
I'm just a squishy
call
leather
in if you want to speak.
Are you sure you're not a Kikabeo?
So I didn't quite fancy my chances. And I didn't want to start the event by dying. That wouldn't have been much fun. And I also had mead to sell and some plans with Grundfos. So grabbed me a little basket and went on my little mead selling mission. And Grundfos had his kind of heresy thing that he needed to go see about, which I can probably discuss now. A ex-member of Navarre changed nations, and they were a thorn, so they had their brand on their face, and they were going to get it flayed from their face. Ooh. So it was kind of like you've made this oath, and now you're just completely abandoning it. And there were some issues there, so I had quite a spiritual conversation about kind of the repercussions of that in the labyrinth, and that was good fun. Picked up my basket, went to carry on, and we saw Dave from the LARP Noobs having a row with another Navari near where the board's head used to be. And it started off kind of a little bit calm, but then it just escalated, and this other person was screaming in Dave's face saying, acknowledge the debt. So I put my mead down, put my kettle down. I don't even know if I had my kettle at that point. Maybe.
You always have your kettle.
You unsheathed your kettle for war.
It's not LARP safe, so I had to leave it behind. And got in the middle of them, and this guy got a knife to Dave's throat and was like threatening to kill him.
Classic Navarre.
Yeah, it was a bit hairy at one point, but then a bunch of Navarre got in between and managed to settle it down. I did later tell Dave that I saved his life, but he said, no, you didn't. So I was like, cool, sweet.
yes, I did, loser.
But then the rest of the day was basically just walking around selling mead with Anna and Jake. It was their first event, and they really enjoyed it. And I managed to sell all my mead out in one evening, one night. Went around all the nations, went to saw Varushka. You were having your party there. So I managed to sell quite a bit there. It was a lot of fun. And made a fair few thrones. So it was time to finally spend some money. And then it was dinner time at the Dreadshield. And Rocky had done his tomahawk steaks and some delicious feeds.
Ooh, shout out to Rocky and his tomahawk steak. It was fucking delicious.
Oh, it's so good. The food that they make is just absolutely incredible. But it was just a really relaxed one, just going around adventuring, seeing the nations. I was with some newbies, so kind of walking them through things and seeing how much they enjoyed it was awesome. How about you, Neve? What was your time in like?
We weren't originally going to go on any of the skirmishes, but Bassard was like, oh, I really think we should, try and get on some of these skirmishes. Like, oh, okay, right, fine. You've twisted my arm.
This big bastard or little bastard?
Big bastard. Yeah. I was like, oh, you've twisted my arm. Yeah, all right. So we kind of managed to convince a couple of the others to be like, yeah, we want to go on the skirmish. Let's do it, whatever. We got to the gate. We're all geared up, all ready to go. We ended up getting bounced. So we're like, oh, this is so shit, but whatever.
It's really what puts me off going to skirmishes, the idea of getting into your armor, losing X amount of game time.
The thing is, you can't just turn up to skirmishes anymore, I think is the truth. I think the game has changed now where if you've not spoken to the person organizing it, you're not getting on. We found that pretty firmly. I think it was at E2 last year because we went to two or three and it was just like, didn't get on a single one. So I think it's very much like, unless you know the person doing it, you're not getting on, which kind of sucks.
I feel like I maybe did some things else, but I don't.
You probably did some cool ass shit.
I don't. Sure. I mean, probably not. But we sat around the campfire, ate and drank and just chilled out for pretty much most of the evening. I don't really.
It's quite cold.
It was. Yeah. Was it raining?
It was cold. No. I think it was.
It wasn't raining at this point. It was just. I could see my breath most of the night.
But we had the fire going and we had everyone round, and it was so good to see everyone after such a long time. So it was very much just a couple of drinks, chat, maybe a cheeky game of sweeper.
Just a cheeky little one.
Just a cheeky little game of sweeper.
Yeah, I think it was a pretty chilled out Friday.
Yeah, that's fair.
What about you, Radka?
I started off with my icy dad, Raga. Setting up in the boar's, not the boar's head, sorry, hens. We have a giant golden hen, so that's how you remember the name. And he'd arranged some kind of meeting with important people within Varushka, or we were hosting the meeting, but I couldn't really hear what was going on from behind the bar. And I was just sort of waiting around a little bit, and then the national meeting happened, which was, because I was basically there anyway, I decided to stick my ear in and listen. Yeah, it was basically the same as it was in the Brass Coast. Like, they just talk about like what the things that people are trying to do. They like say, put your hand up if you've not been to Empire before, if you've not been to Vrushka before, or whatever. I did not introduce myself to the group. I was like, oh, it's that awkward thing where like I can't say like this is my first time at Anvil because it's not. But then it's like, do I say this is my first time in Vrushka? But my character, you know, is Verushkin, so that doesn't make sense either.
It's not your character's first time in Anvil, but not
yours.
Well,
then you can't say it's my character's first time in Anvil.
I've been to Anvil in previous walks of life, but this is the first time I, Radka, have been here.
Yeah, I guess. But anyway, I just...
convoluted.
It was, you know, it was a decent meeting. Like, the Emperor spoke as well, and she was quite funny. And then not long after that, there was warding, which actually really was lots of fun. I didn't even know what was happening at the time, but I saw people walking, like, massing with instruments, and I grabbed my tambourine and chased them along, and me and Twig were banging our instruments and shouting, Varushka! And that was a lot of fun. That's the most sort of, like, with the nation that I've felt in any of the nations I've been in. I've never really been, like, done, like, that sort of group, like, you know, like, feeling really involved within the nation. I usually just feel like I'm, like, you know, in this costume, you know, I'm the same sort of costume as these people, but like, you know, like I'm not necessarily ever engaged in any sort of big group activity like that. So that was really fun. And I really enjoyed that. Then went back to the theatre where Cameo turned up, and the idea we had was that Cameo was my sister, but I didn't know about it yet. And Cameo stumbled across Raga and was like, wait, Dad, is that you? You gave me this necklace. Do you remember? And like the whole event, I was interesting. Oh my God, this is my sister. I didn't know I had a sister. Apparently, my dad spent some time in Navarre like 20 or so years ago.
James likes to play a character type. A man with a lot of seed.
When I said to him that I envisioned my character, like Radka's mum, to be a corsair in the Brass Coast, he was like, what are you saying about my character? Like, to be fair, that was your whole character concept for your Navarre character. So whatever. But then that was fun. And we had some acts starting to play in the theatre. We had a couple of Orizeni girls, and literally she got a guitar out of a case and it snapped.
I was just
like, oh my God. And she could just see she was getting really emotional. She was trying to like sort it out. They were trying to like bind it together with string and like trying to sort it out. I was like, I've got a guitar in my tent. Do you want me to go get it? She's like, oh, but I'm playing the whole weekend and I don't know what to do. And I was like, fuck it, you can borrow my guitar for the whole weekend, just drop it off here at the end of the weekend, I don't care. She's like, well, you don't even know me. I was like, no, it's fine. But then right at the same time, Anna and, who was it?
Jake
turned up, because I'd met them out of character on Thursday, and we'd arranged to do a trade, and I was like, can you walk and talk? Like, it's the busiest I've ever been at Empire. I was like, hang on, just wait there, I just need to go here. I'm like, okay, 1 minute, you wait there, okay, I'm going to go here. And, but it was nice, you know, it was nice. That's and cool. That guitar did get returned to me. Yes. You know, it's like, you know, faith in humanity, whatever, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, faith in humanity restored.
Yeah, faith in humanity restored. This person didn't just leave with my guitar and never come back. But yeah, they did their best. Like, even when I brought my guitar, they were still trying to like bind it. They were like, no, we don't, I don't know, but you're still trying to bind it with string and tie it together. And like, they were like, I can't even tune it without, you know, a tuner. And I like whipped out my phone and was like, okay, I'll cheat it so no one can see, but I've got a tuner on my phone. and it was, you know, very chaotic, but very fun. And I bought some smutty nuts and I got a braid from Anna and I traded her for a little toadstool mushroom.
Trinket trading go?
It went pretty well. Like, I didn't do loads of trinket trading, but there were a few things that I got. Like, people came, oh, would you like to buy this? And I'm like, well, I don't have any money, but I have a basket of trinkets. Would you like to swap anything? And, you know, that went pretty well. Then the play, the Mithril Man play, actually.
I actually set aside time to go and see the Mithril Man play. That was one of my musts to attend on my list.
It was really good.
I'm glad
absolutely.
I did, especially because it wasn't on the Sunday anymore.
Yeah, that was a shame. But no, genuinely, all the plays I've seen by your Carter have been really good.
Oh, yeah. Everyone pulls the full weight, and Hugo knows how to write cheese.
Yeah, though admittedly, I did miss part of it, though.
You missed part of the
I went on a
Mithril Man
little
play.
Quest with... one of our friends had brought some, like, Grace had brought a new friend along who she'd been dating recently, and she basically wanted something, and we snuck off to go and buy it for her while the play was happening, because she was acting in the play. And then I gave it to him. I was like, you present it to her after. So I did miss a little bit of the play. But what I did see of it was very good.
I love my portrayal in the play.
Yes. Oh, my God.
I was such a hero. I think the line was like, oh, my God, Uncle Nietzsche, you've saved the day. How did you cleave two legs with one cleave? Well, God, I'm aroused. But no, they did a fantastic funny. Job. The Mithril Man, Will playing as the Mithril Man was fucking great.
And the Mithril Man's partner was there as well.
Yep.
Which I don't know if it impressed him, that one bit where it was like, oh, maybe they killed the Mithril Man because he's so annoying. And what was the behind the Mithril Man's partner like? Ooh.
Did you see the posters up about the Mithril Man?
No, I did not see the posters up about the Mithril
Man. They were very interesting.
Right.
But I won't talk about it here, but there's some very interesting posters about the death of the Mithril Man at this event.
Ooh.
Which we'll talk about afterwards.
Find out in play,
cool.
I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
if they're still there.
I've kind of got to give up on the Mithril Man plot because I know other things might... I wish you hadn't told me that because I can't now pursue the game without...
You can.
Like,
you just have to...
It would kind of ruin it for me. I'm like...
Yeah, fair enough.
I don't believe in metagaming whatsoever and want
to
avoid
that. Yeah, but you can do it in a way that you could just be like, well, my character would do this. It's fine. But yeah. Awesome. Yeah, no, I wanted to watch the plays, but I just ended up being ridiculously busy.
Oh,
this
yeah. Well,
Morgan, ridiculously busy?
I know.
Never.
What? Yeah, madness. Yeah, because the first thing I did was a skirmish.
How did the skirmish go?
So we were very worried because it was 6:30 skirmish for 80 people.
And yeah, the numbers were through the roof for these skirmishes.
And 80 people means they're going to throw, like, everything at you. And we were expecting a lot more than we got. We were expecting like spring horrors and dryads and ents and all sorts of stuff. So we all lined up at the gate. A noble I knew we were going through. So I made it my responsibility to make sure that they got back through the Sentinel Gate. It was my personal objective. And we make our way through and we go to... Oh, where were we? Oh, that was it. We were in Brocéliande, just on the border of Semahol. And a bunch of knight errants known as the Emerald Dogs had gone missing in Brocéliande. And so the Knight of the Greenwood Manor was sent to retrieve them. And they were allowed to bring 79 people with them. So we all got prepared. Like I said, we were at the camp. We spoke about what the plan was going to be, told everyone what the Vlorn were. Explained that you're all going to be venomed, so if you go down, you'll have 30 seconds before you are dead. Make our way to the gate, get charged up, and we go through. We go off to the left, and I don't know if you know, like, so when you go through the central gate, off to the left, there's like a little copse of trees, little like a little clearing. We go in there, and it's stacked with husks.
Oh.
So they're just shambling around, green veins.
Is it like dark at this point?
No, it's still, it's fairly light at this point, but they've got vines coming out of them and they're all wearing heavy armor, which is not what you want to see on a husk. Because that.
I was going to say,
yeah.
Heavy armored husk doesn't sound like.
Well, because what happens is you go to Brocéliande, you die, and then you come back as a husk. So if you're wearing heavy
armor, you're wearing,
you come straight back up again, yeah. And we had to find these knight errants. There were some other people who had that objective. And we kind of surge forward and things are going pretty well. You know, it's all going fairly decently as we cut them down. We start pushing through. And we have been now I might need to write an email because I need to understand what's going on. But we have been told recently via email that Vlorn spawn, so the husks, cannot come back to life and they don't need to be executed.
So, like, once they're down to 0 hit points or
they're
whatever,
dead.
They're done.
That's
they
some...
only had, like, one hit.
So this was, like... No, they had, like, 8 because they were, like, in heavy armor.
Heavy armor stuff.
But the problem was that we were told... So what I said, well, the common knowledge has been Vlorn Spawn can come straight back up again if you don't execute them, all right? But then the recent rules clarification, people were like, no, that's not the case. You don't have to execute Vlorn Spawn. They won't come back up again.
So
we're
you
like,
didn't execute any of them?
Yeah, so we're like, oh, okay, we don't need to execute them then. Because there's a recent rules update.
Does executing take any hero points, or is it just
no?
That you just have to take
5 seconds
to
of appropriate roll.
Yeah,
and if you're hit, the it's interrupted basically.
Okay, yeah.
But as we went past all these things, and we were pushing in. Loads of them started to get up again. I was like, okay, so I guess they weren't briefed about this change, I suppose. And then we're very rapidly surrounded.
But then you can't just go, wait a minute, mate.
Wait, hang on.
Hang on, mate, nope.
Have you not heard the briefing? Get down on the floor. But yeah, so then they all start getting back up. So again, it's basically then just fighting them back. and stuff starts to go sideways pretty quickly. Mm. There's a good picture of some of the Knight Errants being dragged out towards the Sentinel Gate. And then in, I think, again, it was really intense fighting as they started to come around. There were some really good moments, like kind of like dashing out from lines as you see people getting attacked and trying driving down to the floor. And they're full on like zombies, like swinging their pole arms and stuff. There was, again, like a really cool engagement where there was one kind of pestering the sideline. So you'd run up to it and start driving a sword into it, like really awesome stuff. And then I see one physic is, an Earl, no less, is healing someone. And then Forlorn Spawn start to come towards them. And this person that's getting healed pushes the Earl away and they get overwhelmed by Forlorn Spawn and they die. So that, and there was, there, it was like the Earl of their house. So their last moment was saving the Earl of their house.
Oh, that's badass.
That's so dawning.
Yeah.
No, for a minute there, I misheard what you said and I thought they'd push the Earl.
No!
Like, the Earl's healing.
I'm sorry, my liege. Yeet!
Like, I'm for the heal, but I also need some time to get away.
I'm just thinking of Scar. Long live the king.
Yeah, absolutely. But they died like a hero. Like, they're such a, yeah. I mean, it was awful to, obviously, they came back as a character later on the afternoon, but it was like, it was a really cool moment to have them, like, they, and also that house famously, this might give away who they are, but that house famously has a curse where their earls aren't allowed to last for more than a few seasons because they've been through so many in such a short amount of time. So the curse was just narrowly avoided by one very brave Yeofolk.
Aww.
But that was a very cool fight. And then kind of came off that. The noble I was protecting came back alive, but basically had like an icy panic attack on the other side because the Valorna, no joke, like it was like a zombie swarm. Got treated for some green lung. No, not for green lung, for venom, because you're in like the venom miasma. Mm. And yeah, that was really cool. Like a really cool way to start the event, proper full-on skirmish. Made my way back to camp and I was like, right, I've got time. I need to go see Revel, who is a Herald of Barion, who's the one that's supposed to be delivering my scroll to me for my challenge of the Iron Duke. Get back to camp, get my sandwich from my wonderful hot beef and pork sandwich from our excellent steward of House Dillac. Turn around with a mouthful of sandwich and see like Revel, the Herald of Barion from the Summer Realm, as I'm just sat there, fuck. No, I'm supposed to be finding you. So I like quickly scarf down my sandwich and wait for them to be done. And make my way over. And I love chatting to heralds. Mm. They're all so like...
I've not spoken to one yet.
They're so good. They're all like...
If I hang around in the Hall of Worlds, will they be around?
Yeah, heralds are always coming through. That's like if you go to any of the plenipotentiaries, which are the...
Well, I went first to Wind of Fortune. The one this time. Is that a plenipotentiary?
Which one?
The whale person.
That's not a plenipotentiary.
Oh, is that a separate thing?
So plenipotentiary is the six archmages can send out a message to one eternal from the realm they're an archmage of and be like, hey, do you want to come have a chat? And then they'll come back with a response being like, yes or no or yes and or no but or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
They're really good opportunities because you'll know that an eternal's coming through when you can see them. But yeah, no, Challenge the Iron Duke's really good because I've hosted them before, I've chatted to them before, had the ritual cast. So I was chatting to Revel as we walked along. And it's just very funny because they're just like from the Summer Realm. And I was like, oh, I suppose you don't perceive time in the same way as we do. Because I was like, you know, I can't remember what comment that was. He goes, I think that's a really boring question and I don't want to think about it. He was like, that's why would I care?
I love the sass.
He says, I think maybe me and my lord perceive time in the correct way. Honestly, philosophies for the Data Realm, I don't care. I was just like,
fair enough.
Fair enough, Revel, absolutely fine. Make our way over to Navarre, and we see, I think that's when I see you, because I see Revel, I'm with Revel, it's Revel's, other, the other herald, Bellows, and there's a third herald, who I've not met before, who was there, who, I can't remember what their name was now, but spoke to them, and I got my fancy little scroll. So it was a piece of parchment, two sheets of paper, and it had a ribbon on it. And the ribbon, I should have brought it with me, but the ribbon's something like, you feel compelled to inspire people to great deeds and action and do things. Because Barion's all about, go do the cool thing and face the challenge and all this. So I get my scroll and I read it in front of Revel. And what it says is at 8:15 on the Saturday, I need to be in at the Knight's Crossroads in Andujes in Segura. So I need to be in Segura. And I look up, I'm like, is there a conjunction at the Sentinel Gate? And he's like, yep. I'm like, okay. And I have to defeat the first worthy foe that I find. And I can bring 14 people. I'm like,
sorry, you got to lead a skirmish.
I got to lead a skirmish. This is the first time I've ever been on a skirmish that wasn't on. This isn't what was publicized. It was like
you so got your own personal skirmish.
Own personal skirmish oh from God. This conjunction. It was so cool.
What a treat. Does that top an encounter 10, do you think?
Well, no, it's so it was. I've been trying. So I'm gonna. I think the encounter takes are really cool. I'd love to do that. This was fantastic.
Yeah.
But I want to talk about that in general. But there's a lot of really cool things Empire does that are really cool to experience. But I'm trying to have a mentality at the minute of there are loads of cool things happening at Empire. People are leading wars. People are leading skirmishes. People are doing this, that, and the other. But I'm really trying to focus on like the cool stuff that you get to do is like secondary to the RP that you get from it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So whilst the quest was amazing, getting the quest was really cool. What was like almost better than that was going to 14 people who've been a big part of Tristan's like quest
recruiting.
And life and being like, do you want to go on a quest? And like having that moment of going around.
That does sound good.
It was very cool. And then people were like, hell yeah. So I had this thing, I could bring 14 people on the quest, 14 people through the Sentinel Gate, and had to go around and find them. And that was, yeah, that was, I guess, this, right? The getting ready for the skirmish, to go on the skirmish, the chatting to Baron. I think by now, timing's been on for like an hour and a half.
Oh, wow. You had a big start.
I had like such a compressed beginning to the event.
Yeah, but I feel like your events are always like as if you're running full pelt on a treadmill for
this event. My calves were killing me. Like this event particularly, I felt like I just didn't stop walking. I was like never in, I have had to say this before, but never before have I had to been like, can you walk? And so many times I was walking with someone, they'd stop to chat. I'm like, I'm really sorry. I can't stop because I need to be somewhere. And I was consistently late to stuff despite the fact I was just constantly going.
I completely get that. Until about 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock Saturday night when it goes dark, I'm usually always busy.
Yeah. Well, because the next thing that happened, because when you were doing the warding, I was in a meeting.
Meeting.
I know.
What a treat.
Well, it was actually really cool. I get it. Meetings are cool.
Meetings are cool.
But this was about 8 o'clock. So I went to go speak about the Deadwood Knight. So
yeah, because I wanted to go to that and then the warding thing happened and then I got distracted with that and just did warding instead.
Look, I get it. You're
was fun.
Yeah, exactly. Very, very, very Brian.
Was this taking down the wards or putting them up?
Who would take down the wards?
I know. No one would take down the wards.
That is a very silly action.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I went to the meeting about the Deadwood Knight where we discussed plans, and there was a really cool moment where I think it's funny, like, the more you play this game, the more you learn stuff. And it's very cool being able to contribute to a conversation around stuff, because I was like, oh, we could always speak to the Fish of Y. And everyone, like, a few people nodded their heads, and a few people went, who? I was like, Fish of Y? Leviathan? And there was one of those things where it's like, the more you play the game, you pick stuff up. So, and it was just a very cool moment to be able to share stuff that I thought, I didn't think this would ever be relevant. But there is an Eternal called Leviathan, and you can ask Leviathan Y questions by using a ritual. You submit it the day before. You need a little dragon bone effigy. It's like a little dragon bone whale. And you send it off with your question the day before you want to cast a ritual to Leviathan. And then the next day you'll get your answer in the regio. So I was like, what we need to do is we need to formulate a question. I know a day coven in Dawn who will be able to cast a ritual. I'll find the dragon bone effigy. And we'll try and get the ritual cast on Sunday, not knowing that Sunday was going to be what it was. Yeah. But that was really cool. So then I had like a little side quest. I was like, I got to go trading, got to go find people.
Who trades at LARP?
Oh, God.
Who has the time?
I guess.
In the end, not me, because someone else found it for me. Because I was like, I kept speaking to people. I was like, I don't have the. Can you please find one of these for me? I actually ended up asking for it on the battlefield. It was really funny. We were on like a line of Grendel. Fighting crabs running past, and I see this Urizeni magician. I'm like, you! I'm like, yes, like, how are you doing? Really good, thanks. Hit a Grendel. I need a dragon bone effigy to cast, whack, cleave to cast this ritual. Could you help me out? Yeah, absolutely. Ripel, absolutely. Awesome. Run off
that's
further down
very
the line.
Pirates of the Caribbean.
It literally was like, we're right at the front line. There's a fight going on. But yeah, managed to kind of get that sorted. After I'd got my scroll from Baron, I had another skirmish, so I've been invited by a noble to, or requested by a noble to attend a skirmish at 9. And I was like, yeah, absolutely. I've been asked to do it. I'll give it my best. I make my way over to the Sentinel Gate. I think I'd taken my armor off for a brief amount of time. Oh, yeah, because I had the meeting, but then I went, put it straight back on again, made my way over to the Sentinel Gate, and I saw the person who was leading it was someone who I trust very much to lead a good skirmish. There was, I think, about 75 of us. There was like a good decent chunk. And we were off to fight the Jotun, who were going to attack the Feni, which is like a group of people that live within the Empire. So we make our way through the gate. At this point, it's like 9:30, so it is dark. It is very dark. And we make our way out, and we're taking the fight in the big field. And you can't see anything. Like, I can see these like shadows coming towards us, which are presumably the Jotun, and our line starts to move up towards them. So again, Jotun, classic line fight, right? The plan was for the right flank to be full of people that can do strike down. So as we move up, they run up, come in on the right and just demolish their flank as they strike them down to the ground, and then we can kind of crush them, basically. We make our way up the field and we start to engage, and something on the right flank goes wrong. It doesn't push hard enough. It doesn't fall through enough. Something happens and we lose momentum, basically. And the minute we lose momentum, people start to push back and we start getting pushed into a retreat. People start going down. People start floundering. And then the person who's leading it calls for an ordered retreat, which is, you know, slow, stay half of the force run.
So they miss the kind of ordered
part. Yeah, they sprint for the gate. For their, like, just run. And then we see people running. I start going ballistic as people start sprinting for the gate. Like they're running away. I start going ballistic and some marcher turns to me, starts going ballistic at me for ranting at his friends who ran off. So we start having a full on screaming
Tristan,
around.
I imagine Tristan suffers no fools.
No, yeah.
Like, no.
Screaming match on the battlefield or off the battlefield?
On the battlefield.
Oh, fair.
We didn't run.
Does that also trigger a cutscene where you can't get killed? Like when?
No, it certainly doesn't, because we got told to pay attention. Full on like screaming match. Then we did a little check-in.
I said to them,
do you want to have an argument on the other side of the gate as well? And they're like, sounds like a good idea. Check-ins are big and clever.
Yeah,
please do
that's
them.
That's great. Because then you know that like they're not just actually
OC. Yep, you're at the right level. And it brings you right down.
Yeah, you're just role-playing.
So, all good. Then the fight continues, basically. And the Jotun are like, we've won. Right? Stop fighting. Accept we've won. Come collect your injured and can go.
Very
honourable.
Nice of them.
It's very honourable. That's the Jotun.
Very honourable.
So the Jotun are like, we've won. We don't need to prove it anymore. Go home. But we'll let you come get your wounded. Anyone with swords, stay where you are. Everyone else, come collect your wounded. I was frothing at the mouth. I was like, the only reason anybody here hasn't died is because of the honor of the Jotun and nothing else. Just scream, just like ranting about cowards. There's people telling me to like, just breathe. And I'm just like, just on the front line vibrating. We eventually get everybody. We make our way back through the gate. And the worst thing for Tristan to see was his friend on the other side of the gate who'd been on the skirmish and had run through. And I was like, did you run through the gate? And they went, yeah. I went, okay. And they went off to the side. And then we had the person who led the skirmish did like a really cool speech. It was a very cool kind of like, we've lost, but it can happen. They said, I've led 27 successful skirmishes. This is my first ever failure. They happen. Really cool kind of moment. At the minute, whilst talking, I was like, we lost that skirmish because of Imperial cowards. And as I'm standing there, I see two people sprinting towards me.
Okay.
And I look up and I see the noble that asked me to go on the skirmish and another noble that I know. And they're running. And they're like, Tristan, are you okay? I was like, yes, I'm absolutely fine. Why, what's going on? It's like, yeah, I forgot I'd asked you to go on this. And I was going to tell you not to go on it because it's a night skirmish and it was badly organized. And then when we heard you'd gone through and we heard people had run through and it had gone to shit,
oh no,
we came sprinting. So these two people had run over and I was like, so then I was caught in this moment of like, Tristan tries to be composed around nobles, you know, of this kind of like,
like you were already pissed.
Yeah. But then, I'm not pissed at them. I was like, Tristan was like, oh my God, two nobles are worried that I'm alive? Oh, what a time.
To be fair, like, I feel like at this point with your character, you'd probably like not be as upset for them to go because it'd be like really dramatic.
Yeah.
You're established enough that people would be.
But it was very cool because I was like, I'm not angry at you because it's, you know, whatever, I was doing what you asked and you never were able to find me, that's fine. But I was very much like, I can't believe two nobles care about my life. Aww, so it was a very cool moment.
Okay, yeah.
And I was like, apologies, I just need to speak to this crowd. And then I turned around like, we lost this skirmish because of Imperial cowards. And then the guy who was screaming at me the other side of the gate starts screaming at me, someone gets between us. And I'm just like, I'm going back to camp.
God, your play is dramatic.
Look, I always play angry characters, and maybe one day we'll examine that. But for now, we'll leave.
LARP's cheaper than
what
therapy.
Do you mean?
Yeah.
It's not an issue with that.
No, it's not
There's
a
no
problem.
Problem.
Yeah, but I feel like all of my LARP characters are very angry people. All of them.
Yeah, pretty. Not Bimble.
No, not Bimble. Although there was a picture of Bimble holding a turnip in a very threatening manner. But yeah, that was again really cool role play. I always say this about like stuff is if the losing isn't as fun as the winning, don't do it.
Yeah.
Because what's the point?
Yeah. It's especially, all about the game.
The fact I always say this, losing a skirmish is far more enjoyable to me as a role player than winning.
More role play out of it. Yeah.
So winning, I'm like, yay, we win. Whereas when you lose, you're like, I get to be pissed off. I get to be sad. Like, I get to have like great. Strong relationships.
It's like in D&D. If I make a choice and you go, are you sure about that? I go, fuck yeah. You're like, give me some consequences.
Put the foot on the gas. Absolutely. But yeah,
I said, bitch.
I'm a big proponent of like, so people are always like, oh, I worked really hard and I didn't get this thing. I'm really gutted. I'm like, well, you should have enjoyed doing the thing you were trying to do to get it. And if you weren't enjoying that, don't do it. But yeah, really cool. Lost the skirmish. I've been talking to my friend who I spent basically the entire weekend with. Neither of us know what we did Friday night. We were like, did we go drinking? No, that was Saturday. Did we go for cheese night? No, that was Saturday. Did we do it? No, that was Saturday.
You just spent the rest of the evening in a blind rage.
Yeah, clearly. I don't know what I did. I barely remember taking my armor off.
I didn't see you on Friday night. But that
I don't know what I did on Friday night. Clearly, it was fun. Clearly, I got hammered somewhere.
You must have done, yeah.
I don't think I tried. Anyway.
Did you do much, Tom?
That was kind of my Friday.
Well, speaking of skirmishes, I was meant to be organising one to go on the Sarvos skirmish on Friday. It was like, oh yeah, I'll organise this. The Jackdaws will do it for free. We haven't done a skirmish for a while. Until you know how there's like NPCs that run it and then player characters that run it? Or there's the higher-ups and then there's the actual person who runs the skirmish?
Yeah, sometimes, yeah.
Someone came up to me, he's like, right, here you Jackdaws and mercenaries. How much are you wanting per troop to send on this skirmish? I was like, this is very nice. We'll take 2 crowns per head. We'll make very happy. Yeah, we'll send you 15 troops, 2 crowns a head. You got a deal. An hour later, we get someone coming down. Right, you guys coming on the other skirmish? Yeah, you're paying 2 crowns a head. This is the person who's actually running the skirmish. No, we're not going to pay you that. Why don't you do it for pride? Well, you promised us money. Well, do you lack pride? I was like, I'm not sending my troops on this anymore. You have gone and promised me money. You have regaled on money, and you have insulted my pride. Modesto goes down and kind of sort like, what the fuck has happened? I've got a grumpy merchant prince. She was like,
I've got a very grumpy merchant prince. Just each of the corner.
They promised money. And she said, well, I'm in charge of the skirmish. These bureaucrats going and promising money that we can't have. I was like, well, now I've got to go to my troops and say, the battle we've been paid to do, they've nailed on their deal. I'm not sending any of you. If you want to go save Sarvos, you do it on your own back. I know it's all part of the game. It's like, why can't one character stick to what they fucking say?
No, I think that's fair enough. I think if someone's come to you and be like, we'll give you 30 crowns, and then you're like, actually, 0 crowns, it's like, well, no.
It puts me in the awkward situation. I want to go on skirmishes. I like doing battle. On the other hand, I'm a mercenary captain. I'm like, you put me in a tough situation now. I promised my troops money where we would have done it for free before, and then you've taken away the money incentive. I've got like, no, Tom, you're playing a merc captain. You've got to be...
If they'd never offered the money, I feel like there was a greater chance you would have done it.
Oh, yeah.
But the fact they offered money and then went, no, you're like, no.
Like, you can have a cut of the loot. There's so many people.
Yeah, I was going to say, what, the lion's share?
Like, I believe the seawolves actually got paid for it. So I'm like, meh. No. We also had the fun Tenacity of Jotra ritual, which I always love my jackdaws doing.
Oh, your fortitude.
My little fortitude point.
Did you need it this event?
No, I never need it. I've never gone down. This is not an invitation to take me down.
One day you'll have 10 seconds left on the clock before you get saved, and then you'll come back here and you'll go, right, guys, I told you, I needed that 10 minutes of fortitude.
I've had it 13 minutes in the past.
13 minutes?
Yep.
Why aren't you just running headfirst at lions?
Just lie in there. The healer comes over, like, give it 10 minutes. I will go, I've got time.
I will go into it on Saturday, but I struggled to get close to the front lines.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I'm not as, like, bulky as Tristan pushing my way through. Those arms are hard to move. But after that, yeah, the tenacity of Joshua Ritual, love the clattering curtain performing them. Hugo put on a great thing, was basically, the citizen is in trouble. It's being attacked by this monster. I have left items around the ring. You can only use the item once, unless there's too many of us, where you can use the second item again. Pick your item to defeat the monster. So I decide to fend the monster off with a ring. So I get down and propose to Grace the monster. I'm like, you leave this alone and you may have my love, you demonic creature.
What did they say?
Yeah, they accepted. Like, oh, thank you. But it was a lot of fun. I love little rituals like that.
That's so good.
League-ish rituals, because obviously each nation has their own, like, thing. Yeah. But, like, from what I've seen, League-ish, like, because it's like a play, it's like a theatrical performance, it's a lot of fun.
The Reggio's always a fantastic little spot as well.
Yeah, I saw a really good idea the other day. Someone was talking about, like, having fighting for a Dornish ritual.
Yeah.
I was like, the idea of doing, like, a tournament in the Reggio for, like, right, 10 minutes of appropriate roleplay. The 10 minutes of appropriate roleplay is you're going to have a tournament in the middle of the region. It would be really cool. But yeah, no, I like that. Sounds awesome.
Not a lot of space for a tournament, I guess.
There's enough for two people. Yeah. Have a scrap.
A monkey knife fight.
Yeah.
After that, it was the classic 11 p.m. Merchant Princes meeting, which always drags on, but it did keep to time this time. And this time, I actually had things to say. They were demanding money for the prince's purse.
And you said no.
But one of the ideas for the prince's purse to raise money was, and I strongly oppose this, was why don't each prince pay a throne to speak in these meetings?
Oh, my God.
To which Nietzsche's response was, and I do not play the nicest character. I don't play a horrible character. Yeah, but I don't play I think he's quite selfish. I'm like, do you think it's fucking fair that a new prince to Anvil with a smaller guild has to fork out a fucking throne to speak at this fucking meeting? Oh, I got shouted down for that one.
Really?
You should raise your fucking hand. Do you lack pride? Well, do you lack fucking prosperity?
Yeah, no. I have opinions on that. OC, I have really, like, that's shitty. like a crown.
Yeah,
I'd pay. Crown's pretty cool. Like a crown to be like, I'll speak because it's a representation of whatever.
Yeah.
But a throne is like, each person on average gets a throne's worth of resources.
That's over my initial resources for the game. It was also, so it goes to a vote. How many people in this Merchant Princes meeting think it's worth paying for the voices to be heard? And I think out of about 25 was there, 9 of them raised their hand.
Did you write their names down?
Yeah.
I should have done.
Yeah.
I was one of the ones who objected. And then it was like, so who wants to vote to the pay to speak? It was unanimously voted against other than the one suggesting it.
I think what would have been really interesting is like, right, you suggested it. Every time you want to speak, you pay a throne.
I think the character did a lot of the mage games. So it works in Conclave where there's like hundreds of people needing to speak.
Yeah.
But when there's 20 merchant princes, you don't really
need it. I mean, it kind of works in Conclave, but I think a lot of people do speak for a lot longer because they can flex the mana.
There was like a couple of my other princes who knew me laughing at me, just like, you're mad, are you? I'm furious.
Just sat there vibrating in your chair.
There was also another vote on the Urizen Reckoning again.
Urizen's just having this shit kicked out of it at the minute.
The princes have voted to support this reckoning, though.
Wait, hang on. What does that mean?
So basically, we've decided what we will put support to if it comes around to it and gets officially chosen. So Urizen wants the Imperial Battle Mage title. League doesn't give a fuck. That's a very Urizen anything to do.
Okay.
And there was one plan for these, like, funding these cable cars in Urizen, all this Skyway or something like that.
Yeah, the kind of the gondolas between spires or whatever. Yeah. Kind of thing. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So apparently most of the Urizeni except one spire were for it. And the one spire that was against it was the spire that would have to be dug up to get the resources to build the Skyway. So of course we all voted to support Urizen.
Yeah.
But Gustavus joined us for the first time as well, and bless, he looked in the mix between incredibly annoyed and falling asleep, as Wonderful. Is tradition with a lot of Empire meetings. But it was the most fun I've had at one for a while, and of course, the wine was flowing for Wine Club.
Wine Club being...
A few of the mercenaries just in the corner getting sloshed on wine as this is going on.
Excellent.
And after that, I had one final meeting of the night, which took me to about 1:30 in the morning.
Incredible.
Negotiating, getting votes for the chair of the wolf, nice. Which went on for a long time. I think there was one of the parties wanted the jackdaws off. And I was like, well, you can buy us out if you want. But the rings have sealed it, mate. I'm sorry.
God, you're so leaguish. I love it.
I want money. But yeah, that took me to 1:45. It was really atmospheric, though. It was in a tent. The lights were on. It was dim. It was really intense leaguish negotiations, and I feel like I'm getting a bite for it. I still don't understand every wheel, but I'm really starting to like the non-hat political game, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Which is what the league's all about. So, yeah.
Wheeling, dealing, making a buck at the back.
Yeah, absolutely.
But that was my Friday night. What about you, Kerry? Anything left?
Yeah, so obviously I spent the whole night at Hens. We were just planning on opening for the one night, and I said, look, I'll work there Friday night, but then I want to be able to go like on, you know, all-nation tavern crawls and whatever for the rest of the weekend. So we were all there on the Friday, and I think at one point there was a play that was scheduled, but they didn't turn up. But then it was fine because we had a couple of friends of the boar's head show up and go, ah, you look familiar. Got to say, the longer you play for, when you make a new character and you know loads of people, it is so much fun reintroducing yourself. Reintroducing myself to the jackdaws and finding out all the rumours about why the last few housekeepers left and seeing their faces as they go, ooh. It was very funny. I got to play the Hens theme song to a couple of people that I knew already, and that was the first time I've really performed something, especially something I've written myself at Empire. Even though it was only for a couple of people, but that was a lot of fun. I couldn't remember the chords for the life of me when I first picked up my ukulele. And I found out about the Bard's Guild, which I hope to properly join in future events. Also, whilst trading, I traded some trinkets for a pasty from a friend, and I traded for some smut because that, you know, whatever. But people came around hey, do you want to trade? And I was like, I don't have any money, but here you go. I gave all my money to stock the bar, basically. So I only have half a throne to my name currently.
Thank you for my owl whistle.
Yeah,
I love that.
Oh, yeah, when you came over, I was just like, hey, by the way, Otis, look, you like owls, right? And just gave you a little owl whistle. Because I got a 3-pack, so I've got a little frog, Cricket's got a cricket, and Otis has got an owl. Nice.
So perfect.
Yeah,
it was great. We went on, a bit earlier on, we went on Side Quest. So I'm not very strong, and James had tendonitis at the time, so neither of us could carry the cider back from the marchers. So I had to grab a random marcher who looked like he just got off a skirmish, and I was like, you there, would you like 10 rings and a free drink? And paid someone to carry the booze. But the amount of times we have slogged from A to B with big, heavy kegs or whatever, and we just can't. But that was fine. Found out about the Smut Book Club as well from the person I bought the smut off. So we did plan to go to that, but then OC stuff happened. I think that's basically all. Yeah, I actually got some decent OC conversation about Russian monsters and stuff and things with Goswin and Gwyn, which was really nice. I felt this event, I was a lot more confident just to chat to people that I didn't even know.
Yeah.
Just talk in-game, in-character stuff. And I felt I'm starting to get to grips with the world a little bit. Because I just don't have the attention span to read the wiki. But I think hearing you guys talk about it a lot, I'm picking things up.
By osmosis, you're slowly absorbing it.
Eventually I'm soaking things up.
It's quite nice. It feels like we've restored balance. Because for a year, we had 3 Navari in this room.
Yeah.
And we've kind of restored it a little bit, so we're not overwhelmed.
And you know what? I love Verushka, and I got a lot of compliments on my kit, which was very
It was
nice.
Really good kit. Yeah. It was really good
I
kit.
I said the other night, kit. I think it's the best kit you've done so far.
Absolutely. I got random compliments from a stranger at God, and I was just like, thank you. Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, but yeah, that was basically my night. Like, you're all drama and I'm all party.
Tom's all meetings.
Yeah. Meetings, meetings, meetings.
Neve's all meetings, kill. Meetings. Otis is all
booze.
Chill.
Kettle.
I think
Kettle.
I got to try your orange mead, your chocolate orange mead. Yeah. Because you came to me, you're like, do you want to buy some? And I was like, I don't have any money. Talk to my dad. Come on.
I was a busy boy. I made 10 thrones in...
God, Morgan, we need to get
about
the training game.
An hour and a half, 2 hours.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is
it's really
bonkers.
Not that much work or that much time for the amount of money you get for it.
Yeah, people are always wanting to buy alcohol.
And I love going around with my little basket and selling. And there was this group of Ruskins, they sent their little daughter, who was like a toddler, over with 4 crowns and bought the mead. I was like, have you got your ID? And then they totaled off. I had the most fun selling, I think, at Varushka because everyone was obviously partying.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, because the emperor. We actually have like a little IC sign, like an ID sign, like if you look 25 or whatever. I can't remember what it says, but you'll have to check it out at some point.
Yeah, if you're lucky enough to look...
If you're lucky enough to look under 25, then we'll ask you for your ID or something.
I think I look 14.
40?
Yeah.
Hey. Awesome. Right, is that our Friday?
I believe that's our Friday.
Right, we'll wrap this up then. Thank you very much, everybody, for listening. We're going to be back next week, hopefully, with what we got up to on Saturday and maybe the horrendous storm of Sunday.
I didn't really get up too much on Sunday, so that was maybe 2 seconds to say.
we'll talk about what we got up to on Saturday. Thank you very much for listening, as always. If you can give us a like and subscribe if you're on YouTube or follow us on Spotify, please do, it really helps if you can give us 5-star reviews on your podcast app of choice. I am contractually obliged to read out any 5-star reviews, as you found out last
month. Unless you're Chloe.
I've left another one, and so this is now 2 or 3 I've left, and they've not been read out. So
yeah, Chloe, because I know it's you.
False.
I'm not reading them.
You're a member of the cast.
That feels so narcissistic.
You didn't specify.
No, I didn't.
Okay,
I'm getting them up. I'm doing it. This is it's happening. This is proof, folks, that I read out, if you're listening this far, that I read out our 5-star reviews. Where are we? Right, Spotify.
Comment down below if you think this is cringe or not.
What have we got? Hang on. Audience, interact. That's what I'm looking for. What have we got on here? Let's have a look. What did you think of this episode, Prelap 1? Oh, Chloe Jade has something to say. Great episode. The hype is real for Empire. So excited and love how you can hear the energy from everyone. Chloe in particular is amazing. She's definitely my favourite. And a grey heart emoji.
Chloe, your face is going red right now.
What else have we got? Let's keep scrolling. What did you think of this episode? No, I've already read that one out because it wasn't Chloe. Chloe Jade. Amazing as always, apparently, this one.
Thank you.
To miss this, but so excited for next year. Best podcast in the world, and Chloe is my favourite. What else have we got? Have we got any more on this?
If you don't believe in yourself, who will? I think that actually might be it.
Well, thank you very much, Chloe.
You're welcome.
But yes, thank you very much for listening. If you can give us a 5-star review, that would be great. If you...
And don't forget, you can get Morgan to say silly things.
Yes, you can get me to say silly things.
It doesn't have to be real things.
It can just be an advert. It can be, as long as it gets past iTunes's like moderation filter, I'll read it out. Well, yeah, but presumably if it's too rude, it'll get filtered out.
Don't copy and paste smut into the comments.
Yeah, well, you can if you want. This is an explicit podcast. Yeah. Just no slurs, please. But yes, thank you very much for listening. If you want to support us, we are on Patreon at Fabletop. And a little bit of a promo, I guess, that we just released.
Big promo.
We just released. So we are running a player event in October called the Hunter's Feast. It is going to be run by the 5 of us, and then it's going to be based in the Tom and I's next characters, basically, our next Dornish characters.
Well, these are counting for NPCs of Matt P.
Yes, so yes, they will be NPCs. I've written to PD, but yeah, we're going to be playing our next characters. There's going to be some new kind of house. Mercial is the house. So
it's going to be a banging house.
If you fancy a player event in York, please do check it out. We'll be running that on the 26th of October.
People have asked me, you do not have to be Dornish to enjoy.
Nope,
any
it's
nation
for all Imperial citizens.
Even Urizen.
There's going to be drinking, dancing, eating. Very much looking forward to it.
There's already a page on Facebook if you want to follow it.
Yes.
For future updates.
Yes. But yes, thank you very much, everybody, for listening, and we will see you next week.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Too soon.